today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Dr. Fry faces up to 10 years in prison, according to NBC2, and a sentencing date has not yet been scheduled. That's my doctor!
Wow!
Yay! Mike, you know I never like reading your text during the show, and this is very bratty, and this is very unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
But breaking news, whatever it feels like breaking. I mean, you're not going to believe this.
What?
From Mr. Mike O'Mara.
Radio host?
Radio host, 10:38 a.m.
Yes, just in.
Maine, the wilds of Maine. Happy still getting tickets, but not the interview.
Am I seeing double? How you doing? Come on out here, guy. No, Antonio. Stay in the green room. Don't come out again. You're average.
Go out and start the car. Get the AC running. Don't want to get into a warm car.
Thank you.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Would anyone mind if I got something off my chest just so we could move on?
Sure.
What's your beef, Dave?
My beef, I am still mad at Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, really? Come on.
I didn't come in and talk about it right when it happened because everybody else was doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also a big bummer.
It's a super bummer. And because he's dead, he's been, you know, deified. And I'm glad that it's put a spotlight on suicide prevention.
Right.
I think that's a good thing as well. But at the same time, I'm just really, really
Mike,
upset. He was the number one guy that I wanted to interview from any food TV show that I'd ever watched.
It's truly tragic.
Yeah.
It really, really sucked. And then I was watching CNN just the other night. And then I saw a viral video that he did on his last episode of Parts Unknown or No Reservations, one of the many shows he's done.
Right.
He did a death ritual in Bhutan or something like that. I don't know. Or Bhutan. Just all the stuff about Anthony Bourdain. I think what frustrates me is this is one of those guys that really we needed. And let me explain why. I think Anthony Bourdain was somebody who taught me, and I don't travel extensively and I haven't had a chance to, but he taught me that if I'm going to another country, that I get off that plane and I don't go follow a lady with a flag with a tour group, and I don't go on the organized excursions. What you do, the best way to go to see a country is you get off the plane and you go to a good restaurant and you hang out with the locals and you just kind of wing it. And it taught us how to be open-minded and experience other people and experience culture. And he was fearless and he was brave. And we needed a guy like that. That message, I wish that message, even though he was, 62 when he committed suicide?
Sounds about right.
That message was something now more than ever that we needed. And I woke up this morning thinking about that, and I wanted to come in and talk about it because it just bummed me out that he's gone. I'm not somebody who's going to say, oh, why are they making him such a hero? No, I'm not somebody who thinks about suicide that way. I can't even imagine what kind of demons would drive somebody
right
to do that. But I have been at places in my life where I've been low and depressed, and I can certainly understand that. But it just makes me still mad at him and maybe mad at the people around him that I wish that had not happened.
You know,
I wanted to say.
You shed some light on some amazing wisdom there, is that really what he did for his television show, we could all benefit from as a world.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Don't separate yourself.
Food.
Don't separate yourself and look in on a country. Be a part of it.
It's sad. And again, I don't think we can call it selfish, and some people will say that for any type of
People always say that about suicide.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so selfish. Nobody can crawl inside a person's brain to imagine the depth of misery it takes for someone to take one's own life. It's not even possible for most people to wrap their heads around it.
Right.
And people love to judge, and people like to do this. I also don't think it's necessary to deify him just because he committed suicide, either because he's dead. That happens.
That's
true. But in his case, the body of work that he gave us was something that really was valuable. I think there was more. I think he had a lot of value. He had a lot more to give us. And that's why I get mad that he's gone. Not yeah. that he committed suicide, that he's gone. And when I say I'm mad at Anthony Bourdain, well, yeah, maybe I am. I'm mad at him. That's my selfish thing. But it's just he's somebody that I think was a voice that was really, really valuable on the Magic
Box. I think Casey Kasem said it best when...
Oh, really? Oh, quoting, here we go. You're quoting Casey Kasem
yeah.
now?
If we got to come out of another dead celebrity chef story into an up-tempo show...
Where's, I'm sorry.
Where's
maybe
Don?
It's because
Get Don
maybe
on the phone.
The technical issues that we had kind of made me lead with that. Sorry.
That's fine. That's
back.
Fine.
And the fact that I've got a bad back. But other than that, you know, I go back and I watch the shows now, and I can't.
You can't
I can't
at all?
Watch them. No. I turn them on, and I watch 5 minutes of it, and I'm like, no, this sucks. This
the
sucks.
Man touched foreigners. My mom called me the morning of the news breaking, and I thought there was an emergency. It was so early, she doesn't call me unless there's a problem, right?
Right, right.
It was either her Bluetooth was off or something bad had happened.
The man inside the Toyota is no longer hooking up her cell phone.
Would
right.
there be a way that she says Bluetooth or does she say Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, turn on, please. Pretty please. Please.
Does she say pretty please?
That's how she said it when please. I asked her to show me how she turned it on when it was off initially.
Turn on Bluetooth, pretty
because
please.
The man that gave her the car, my brother and the sales guy at the dealership said, all you have to do is get in your car and talk to the car. And so she started talking
ultimately,
to the dashboard.
Ultimately, they made it too simple.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Mike.
Yes.
My mom was in almost in tears. And that she could not, in her God bless broken English, explain to me who she was talking about the past.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, that
that's
is sad.
That's when you know you've touched an audience.
Yeah, it just it's so sad. It's sad and it's angering and all that stuff. So that's all I wanted to
no,
say.
No, it's true.
That's
it's
all
a
waste. Say
when
about that.
It's a waste, and it's a sad waste, especially when it's someone that has so much to offer and has already offered so much. Mm. However, I don't think you should not watch his show.
I know.
Let his legacy live on. Let his legacy live on. What he did was smart, and it lives on.
But as a fan of Anthony Bourdain, the content, and this was always my beef with the Food Network as well, the people that I like on the Food Network, you know, they would do one show, and then you'd see it from 5 years ago. And right. I always said, no, I want fresh, fresh, fresh. Just like our content is, our audience demands the fresh, fresh, fresh.
Oh, we
fresh.
Have
That's
to. Right. Mm-hmm.
That's why we're taking a week off next week, because you demand the fresh, 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 well, fresh.
Hey, but to be fair, next week there will be fresh best of.
Yeah, fresh
there
best will be fresh of.
Never before aired best of segments.
So, I don't know why I'm venting this now, but I didn't say anything afterwards because I was trying to wrap my head around it. And then all the speculation as to why he did it, and was it was he unhappy in love? Was that what it was? And then you know, the tributes that came pouring in, and what's unusual for me is when you see words of wisdom from Anthony Bourdain.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels odd, but I completely understand it. I'm not one of these people who say, what do you mean words of wisdom? You kill it. It doesn't, just because you off yourself doesn't mean you negate every thing
that you
ever
said. Oh, you still have a legacy, right?
You
have a legacy.
And
you're lucky that so much of his is preserved on television. It'll be around forever.
Yeah.
I know. I just, there's nobody,
I think it's natural
there's nobody in the queue. Let me put it that way. There's nobody in the queue.
I understand.
Well, I think that's why he has such staying power, right?
Yeah.
The idea that you could take your shows and then continue to reinvent them and remix them and then new ones and say, if it, I'll go do this. I'll travel the world. See you later. Pay me my money.
Yeah. And we still have Paula Deen.
Yeah, exactly. See, I mean, when you think about the food universe, okay, you got your
Rachel
Ray.
Makes it worse, doesn't it?
You got Mario Batali, you know, who's like in prison now or whatever he's doing.
And
excommunicado.
Mike, someday, let's both of you and I get together, not even on the show. Let's just hang out and bitch about the Sandwich King.
Let me offer a tease for the show, because there's something that you guys are truly going to enjoy. I do believe this.
Oh.
This is going to be special. When your doctor is a criminal, coming up on the Mike O'Mara show.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Got the lowdown.
Damn.
Got the lowdown. Got the lowdown. But we have the mailbag and lots more fun. Woo! And before we talk about death, I'm sorry we had to talk about a food chef, TV chef dying. But I had to get it off my chest.
Are my headshots ready?
And what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see? Is Don on the phone?
I can't believe
somebody to make a concerted effort so I don't have to come out of an up-tempo show and talk about a goddamn chef dying.
Wow.
I want somebody to use his effing brain. Rob, can I finish it?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. I want somebody to use his effing brain. That's it. I'm done. What did you want to say?
I was going
to
say there's going to be a lot. There's a very clever letter in the mailbag today. There's going to be a little deja vu going on.
Oh, that's exciting. Yes. I'm looking forward to that. Now we can start the effing show. Yay.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
So now we've got genetic power. So how long is it going to take for that to spread around the globe? And what's going to be done with it? It ain't going to stop with the de-extinction of the dinosaurs.
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about man-made cataclysmic change.
What kind of change?
Change is like death. You don't know what it looks like until you're standing at the gates.
Do you remember the first time you saw a dinosaur? First time you see them, it's like a miracle. You read about them in books, you see the bones in museums, but you don't really believe it. They're like myths. And then you see the first one alive.
This is not your fault.
But it is.
No. This one's on me. I showed him the way.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the heart of our nation's capital in the Podcast Village Studios. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a radio show and podcast with a worldwide network of listeners who get it. And if you're here, you are in the know. We are totally grateful for each and every one of you. And thank you for making our Las Vegas show, Las Vegas 2018, a sellout in record time. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. All items for our weekly mailbag, which we're going to do today, can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And you can call us anytime, 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, and I was looking in the wrong direction. Our show today brought to you by Texture. Are you paying attention? Not just to this podcast, but to everything you need to be. If you like being up on what's going on, you have to read magazines. Time, People, Cosmo, Entertainment Weekly, and you can get all the magazines that matter with Texture. What is Texture? I will tell you what it is. I love it. Texture is the magazine app. It offers more than 200 of the best magazines all in one place. Get complete issues, get back issues, all in one app on your smartphone, your tablet, anything you want. Stay connected to the biggest and best stories today and do it with Texture. Quality journalism, beautiful photos, interviews, and perspectives. Stay connected with Texture. It delivers the best of both worlds, newsworthy stories, and relaxing entertainment anytime, anywhere. You can dive deep into the issues that you care about with Texture. To start your 7-day free trial, go to texture.com/TMOS. Why wait to start reading the latest issues of your favorite magazines? Try Texture for free today at texture.com/TMOS. That's texture.com/TMOS and start your free trial. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Whoa, we've got the mailbag today. That'll be coming up later in the broadcast, but I wanted to start with this today because this is something truly amazing.
You had something you don't do much. When you tease this to us, you actually had a literal twinkle in your eye.
No, it's not that great, to be honest with you, but I mean, it's something that's fascinating to me. I don't know. We're going to check the memory banks of the show. Do you guys, you know, I've been through so many medical incarnations. Do you remember when I told the story about the doctor I went to that took a shine to Carla a little bit, and I walked into the office, and he was a pain guy that I was going
was
to.
Was he muscular?
He was muscular.
Yes, yes, I remember muscular. The guy.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. And I did a whole story about it, right? That the guy was kind of like, oh, this is your wife? And so I got a letter shortly, I think, before we came up here. And I never pursued it because I said, you know, whatever. that he, it was something along the lines of, in light of recent developments, you've probably heard, Michael Fry, Dr. Michael Fry, will be leaving the practice. And he won't be coming around anymore, right?
Isn't that when you didn't you follow up with at least a phone call and they wouldn't tell you anything?
No, that's the guy. That's my regular doctor.
That's your regular guy. Okay,
yeah,
a perfectly good
guy. Thank you for clarifying.
He just moved to another practice, and they were just any doctor apparently that leaves to go to another group. It's a very convoluted. It's even tougher than radio. You know, it's a
well. They're not going to tell you where he's going to the competition.
Yeah, they don't want to do that, and they make it difficult for him to leave and for him to get it out to his patients.
I'm going to middays at another practice.
Listen, I'm going to be working for another station, and you better.
Find me at the hit station.
I don't know why, maybe because my back is shot that I was thinking about this guy today. But no, it was another reason. I was just thinking, and I said, I wonder what was the deal? Because there was some story about a doctor misbehaving that I saw on the news. I said, you know, I assumed immediately based on his behavior. One of the last times I saw him, he was wearing like an Eagles jersey in the office, like Mr. Cool Doctor guy. And he was kind of a slicky boy. And I bumped into him on a golf course down in Florida one time. He was kind of a slicky boy. He was always kind of a slicky boy. The bedside manner was been there, done it. Don't bother me. Let me just get it. But he was competent. And I even got the needle from him one time in the hip. I just got a little cortisone shot.
Right.
So, somehow the subject came up this morning, early morning. I'm talking to my wife. I said, hey, I wonder how many, what do you think the deal was with that guy? And Carla was just like, oh, he probably, hit on his female patients. And I said, you know, I'm going to do a deep dive and find out what the deal is.
The real story.
Get to the bottom of it.
So this is a doctor of mine. And this was the story that, read out of the news press. I think that's the Fort Myers News Press, ooh, I believe. Michael Fry, MD, a former physician at the Fort Myers-based Advanced Pain Management and Spine Specialist, admitted to defrauding Medicare and TRICARE, according to the news press. Here's what you should know. Dr. Fry pleaded guilty to two counts of fraud. May 18th, investigators said he collected more than $470,000 for prescribing specific equipment and pain medications between 2010 and 2016. Dr. Fry paid medical supplier A&G Spinal Solutions $50,000 to add his wife to their payroll and give her 10% of profits from equipment referrals he made to them, according to investigators. A&G Spinal Solutions managing partners Ryan Williamson and William Pierce pleaded guilty to their roles in the fraud scheme.
Jesus.
Wow.
Item number three, Dr. Fry set up a similar agreement to receive a kickback from prescription sales, according to court documents. The co-conspirator in that arrangement is unnamed. Number four, Dr. Fry collected fees from Insys Therapeutic sales representatives and other employees between 2013 and 2015 for participating in largely bogus Insys speaker event programs. So does that sound like they said they paid him to speak when he really didn't?
He probably didn't have anything to say at all, right?
Subsys, a form of fentanyl that is only legally prescribed to cancer patients, is Insys's flagship pharmaceutical product. So this is a legitimate pharmaceutical company here. Number five, Dr. Fry faces up to 10 years in prison, according to NBC2, and a sentencing date has not yet been scheduled. The other doctor there, who I will not name in fairness to him, who owns 51% of the Advanced Pain Management and Spine Specialist Clinic, said Dr. Fry resigned from the practice and agreed to give up his 49% stake. That's my doctor.
Wow.
Yay.
White-collar drug dealers.
You know what?
Dealers.
I'm not surprised that occasionally a doctor gets, you know, sort of a behind-the-scenes figgy-miggy type thing, but he was complicated. My wife. I'll give you 50 grand, and then you give me this. And there is a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, but there should not be any, in your words, figgy-miggy involved in this. There's a Hippocratic oath.
I agree, but I'm not surprised.
But here it is. This is what we deal with. And what Oscar says, if you boil it down to its pure maple syrupy goodness, is this, that people that get into this business, the level of work, the level of effort that is required, there should be a higher calling. It's not like the priesthood or anything like that, but I mean, I'm not making it religious, but there is a calling. And when you say the Hippocratic Oath, you know, physicians should be healers. That's what they should be all about. Now, they also mentioned in the article that there was nothing he prescribed or did where there wasn't anything that was not for the patients.
This was certainly a financial. This was a financial caper, not a medical caper.
But isn't it a medical caper if you're prescribing things that that maybe there might be a better alternative? But
of interest.
Mm-hmm. It's a total conflict of interest. It really is.
My mom works with a lot of doctors. She works for a hospital, and what she does is she schedules all of their days out and when they're on call and all that stuff. So she deals one on one with doctors a lot, and what she tells me jives with what you said. There is a very common attitude of been there, done that. And if you really blow it up, it's sort of a I'm an untouchable sort of attitude.
Yep.
He probably went into that thing, I can do this. I can do this. I heal people. I can I can bank the system. This is simple.
Yeah. It's and it happens all the time. And it's one of the problems you have when you've got money so rampant in the medical system, where it's all about dollars. It's all about pharmaceutical companies and making profits and shareholders and all that crap. You know, this is stunning to me that that I was hanging out with this guy, you know, and I didn't, or anything like that.
It's you go online, you find the closest doctor, they have an appointment, you go, right?
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that
actually he was referred.
Oh,
hate to say that, but he was referred, Oscar. I'm terribly sorry.
Where? From who?
Yeah. Mike's banker.
From my hip guy.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Do you think your hip guy knows what's what?
Oh, of course. Everybody knows what's what except me. I hadn't done the deep dive since I was up here in the pine tree forest. But I didn't look down and see what this doctor was all about.
Pretty do you think he would have known about the financial stuff before he made the recommendation, though?
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that he was doing this.
No.
Follow the money, Mike.
No, nobody would.
Follow the money.
His partner in the practice didn't know about this. And my guy, you know, all my guy does is put in a hip.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. So does he get probably lobbied to have a certain type of equipment that he puts in your body? Absolutely. But I'm pretty sure that in his business, when you're doing as many procedures as he's doing, my guy's straight up.
Good.
I'm confident in that. As confident as you can be with anybody where you don't
also,
know what's going on.
In fairness, you told us on the air that you went to the scratch and dent bin to pick out your hip.
That's true.
So there are no guarantees.
It was certified. It was certified reconditioned, is what it was.
No, I went. Yeah. I did the very best I could.
It was actually.
I got the best that my insurance could cover.
I thought it was a mistake that you went. Not only it was a right hip replacement, he bought a left hip, and it was for a lady. Right. But other than that, they said they could make it work. They could retrofit it.
These are actually rated for X amount of weight.
But that's it. A little story that I thought I'd share with you.
It's pretty.
I can't believe.
Pretty deep.
But didn't you have a radar about that guy? But you got the pervy radar.
Yeah. But I thought when I heard he was leaving the practice, I'm like, I could guarantee you it was like, vaginitis massages. You know, that's what I thought it was. I didn't think it was going to be a financial crime. I thought it was going to be, hey, how you doing? Let me see. Oh, you got back pain? Let me touch your right breast. That's what I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't. No, it didn't work out like that at all, you know? No, painful touch. I remember when he hit the spot with the needle. That was fine. Needle that I'll probably be experiencing maybe in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I bet he gets a painful spot in the near future. Yeah.
It's 10 years, man. Can you imagine that?
He's going to wish he had some fentanyl.
And in this day and age.
He was a weird looking guy, though, to be honest with you. He was a goofy looking guy. Yeah, really odd looking. Had a Jimmy Durante nose, to be honest
with you. Oh,
no. I mean, a beak like you would not believe. It was really, it was amazing to see. It was like, it was,
did he
it was
tell out, you?
I mean, really like unusually large.
Did he tell you it was all muscle?
He wasn't fit. He was a fit guy.
Yeah. I remember that.
With that said, it's time to get to the, not just me, the mailbag.
Oh, yes.
It's not all about me at all.
It's all about you.
Now, tighter, writer, if you're listening, pleasure, everyone. Thank you.
I just saw Jimmy Durante.
Wow, he had to Google Jimmy Durante.
Yeah, there you go. You really look like
him. I wasn't born.
Yeah.
Why are you
with
so
hair.
Shocked by
picture him? Younger with hair.
Dink-a-dink-a-doo.
I think you got a problem in your hip. I'm going to give you a cortisone shot. Yes, sir.
Hey, you know what? He was the narrator of Frosty the Snowman, the cartoon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Frosty. What Frosty didn't know was the magic hat would turn him into a magic dancing snowman.
That's cool.
Yes. Santa. Karen was very excited to get on the...
Do you remember her name, Karen?
Karen was very excited to get on the train to the North Pole.
Karen owned 49% of her medical practice.
Frosty the Snowman.
Anyway, sorry, there's a little... I like it when the oldies come up.
That's good.
A little oldie but goodie there. Do we have any gifts today, Dr. Spiewak?
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact. Let us start with this. The first two gifts came anonymously.
Ooh.
And this comes in a box called From Fanatics. And when you open it up, you're going to love this. It is a glass puck certified by the NHL with game-used ice melted inside of it. From the Capitals playoff run.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sticker on it that says, don't drink it because it's been treated so it don't mold. So don't drink the water. So we will send that along to you. Also,
that's so cool.
Very cool.
That's fantastic.
Very cool.
I love
that. Very cool.
This is a limited edition framed print with facsimile signatures of the entire Capitals team.
Wow.
And it's of only 5,000 were made, and it is officially licensed by the Highland Mint.
Oh, that is so cool.
Very exciting.
Wow.
Now, would you want that shipped to Florida or to Maine?
Oh, my God. I'm conflicted. I'll let you know about that.
Please let me know.
Now, the last one. That is so special.
It comes with a card, and it's from Mrs. O'Brien, Dan O'Brien's mother. Do you want me to read the card?
Mother O'Brien. Yes, go right ahead. Okay. Yes.
Dan was just in yesterday.
Wow. These are like birthday gifts.
Well, it's the season.
Like, usually the gifts are for us. This time they're for you.
It's birthday season. Yes. I'm so excited.
This has a green velvet cover, this birthday card.
It's a golf ball on a tee.
And it says way above par. Mike, any way you slice it, hope your day suits you to a T. Happy birthday. Love those crazy O'Briens, Mother Debbie, Father John, Brother Bill, and Dan the Fan Man. And she sent you this.
What?
I know that she works with students that make these mugs custom. It is a great beer mug with our show logo on it.
Oh, that is sweet. You send that right up here. That's fantastic.
That's a definite, that's a Maine arrival right
there.
That's
mug, a Maine arrival. I'll be drinking beer up in Maine. That's fantastic.
So those are your gifts, Mike. Those are the presents for today.
Woo! Oh, that's wonderful. By the way, speaking of which, Mother O'Brien, Dan the Fan Man's mama, she turns 59 this Thursday. We're the same age,
yes.
Mama O'Brien. Happy birthday, Debbie.
Oh, really?
You are the toppermost of the poppermost. Did you write that, Rob?
I did. I stole it from John Lennon.
You are the toppermost of the poppermost, and she would like us to sing.
All right.
So this is for Mama O'Brien, Debbie, wonderful fan. Thank you so much. And Debbie, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday.
I appreciate
Debbie,
that.
Good O'Brien.
Happy birthday.
Birthday, 59. Rob, please pass this greeting along to Mike. This is the first letter we have here.
Yes.
Happy birthday. I hope you had a wonderful day, my friend. Chuck Harrison, manager of logistics engineering at Northrop Grumman.
I like that his title was longer than his message.
Rob, please pass this greeting along to Mike. Happy birthday. I hope you had a wonderful day. Chuck Harrison, manager of logistics engineering at Northrop Grumman.
Very cool.
We're developing new technologies to kill other people every other day.
Hey, they're not just weapons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're not? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's every
How
day.
How dare
Aren't
you?
Aren't they the people that like build jets and stuff like that?
But I think they also make baked goods.
And that technology gets to our homes after decades, Mike.
Oh, my God. Okay, Todd. I have an odd favor to ask, but I hope you'll oblige. You know,
it's true.
Sorry, I offended the military industrial
Boeing makes
complex
planes. I don't hear you saying the same thing about their weapons.
How dare you insult someone who turned a prophet?
Jerks.
Next letter. I have an odd favor to ask, but I hope you'll oblige. Could the TMOS gang say a very calm and reassuring hi to my dog, Maggie? She's a 13-year-old basset hound who suffers from sundowner syndrome, a cognitive condition that causes her to become confused, anxious, and a veritable firehouse of urine at night.
Sundowner syndrome, I think, is caused by listening to Gordon Lightfoot, isn't it?
Sundown, you better take care. Superior, it said, never gives up her dead on the big league they call Kitschigumi. Maggie's a dog who is out of her log, and she doesn't know which way she's going. I might continue that at the end of the letter. The tribute, the Gordon Lightfoot tribute to Maggie. A few articles I've read suggest that playing the radio at night could possibly calm her down. So at bedtime over the last week, I've opened Spotify on my laptop and played TMOS episodes at low volume. I'm happy to report that she is getting through the night better than before. It's been great. We all get more rest, and she is blowing through about 5 episodes per night. Granted, we have no clue what's happening in that little hound's brain, but I think she gets it. Keep up the funny for me, and keep up the soothing conversation for her. Thanks from Daniel Tichy in Cary, North Carolina.
You know, Spotify is a great app for a dog because it has the word spot in it.
Maggie the dog was quite out of her log. She would lick her balls in the... No, she doesn't have
No.
She's a female.
Exactly.
Oh, Maggie, it said, never gives up her dead on the Big Lake Vega. A biscuit, it said, in her big mouth. The Basset Hounds all really loved her. All right, anyway, thank you. Maggie. Now, see, part of me also wants to go, Maggie. And then she'll, like, urinate all over the bedroom.
How about just this? Can we compromise instead of a soothing message or a really eager message? Dogs love this.
Maggie.
What a shirt.
Hello?
Who is it?
You guys are jerks.
Who is it?
Jesus.
Get him.
Thank you. Sorry. I'm sorry, Maggie. I hope you have a good
sleep. And we're going to send you some paper towels.
Sundowner syndrome. Pony has the same thing.
He does.
And now
everywhere.
We're up to our long distance dedication. It's from a man in Maine, and here's what he writes. Dear TMOS family, my dad passed away a few weeks ago, and as many before have said, your daily bag of funny has helped me get through the rough parts. I've even listened while helping my mom clean out his dressers and closets. I'm not going to do the Casey voice. This is a real sad
letter. This is what he wanted. This is what he requested.
I've even listened while helping my mom clean out his dressers and closets. You always make me smile. My dad wouldn't know any of you from a hole in the wall, but I do. Is Don on the phone? I want somebody to use his effing brain. My dad wouldn't know any of you from a hole in the wall, but I do. It would please me greatly if you would say safe home to a lifelong Mainer, Walter Robert Prindle of North Yarmouth, Maine. That's wonderful. Well, there it is. There it is. He's let me see. Is it continuing?
It does.
Rob, it looks like it's... Why are you giving me dates that are written down? What's going on?
That's the days of his life.
Okay. So June 16th, 1937 to June 5th, 2018. My dad... What am I supposed to do with this? Am I supposed to read the second part of it? I'm very confused.
Yeah, you should. I mean, you can read it straight,
he wants this read. Is this the dedication? And the first part of it was the request for the dedication, Mr.
Yes.
I don't know how to edit. Is that what it is? What am I supposed to say here? The second half or the first half?
You read
really
the first part.
I'm really having a Casey Kasem. You're so possessed with death. No one understands it as much as you do. Is this the long distance dedication?
It's essentially... Underneath, it's like his epitaph. It's what he would like read. He kept it light. He
Could
wanted the Casey part up front.
Please read the following. Might have been nice. Okay. All I've got is like a date. Then my dad, husband of auntie. June 16th, 1937 to June 5th, 2018.
Right.
My dad, husband of auntie Prindle, the greatest husband, father, grandfather, brother, and man I have had the honor to know. Safe home, Dad. Thanks for letting us spend our lives with you. I hope the smelts are running. Thank you, Robert Prindle and family. P.S. Is Don on the phone? And what happened to those goddamn pictures I was supposed to see? I apologize, Robert. Sometimes I get them.
This was so natural, Mike.
Sometimes I'm supposed to use telepathy.
But what just happened was, I think, more of a payoff than him. You just reading that.
I was really pissed at Rob because I didn't understand
moment.
What was happening.
A yes. Casey
moment. I thought
moment.
The letter was the dedication, and then it was a whole separate thing, and I got to talk about a goddamn dog dying. Next letter. Guys, it is an honor to email ye. I was a hardcore Don and Mike Show fan, and I am quite ashamed to admit that I am just now finding TMOS. It has churned up a lot of fond memories and returned the smile to my now wrinkled and pudgy face. I realize the bonus show generates income, but I want to give more. Please, sir, how shall I make it rain upon thee? Given my budget, it may be more of a light drizzle than rain, but as an old married fella, I don't get to use the phrase make it rain very often. Warm regards from another old Mainer, Eric Cook. Well, you are doing just enough, Eric, and we appreciate that. And if it's a drizzle, keep the drizzle and rain on your own family. That's what we had appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
For you. Thank you very much. Next letter says, hi, guys. The Rakowitz family is hoping to complete a TMOS birthday hat trick this week in honor of the Washington Capitals Championship. Two of my kids received birthday shout-outs earlier this year, and they loved it. Now kid number three is up. Livia Marie turns four. Hi, Livia Marie.
Hi, Livia. Good girl. Who's a good girl?
Livia Marie turns four tomorrow and would love to hear her name mentioned on the radio and or the interwebs. We're grooming the next generation of TMOS listeners. Thanks, and let's go Caps. Nate Rakowitz. Woo! Livia Marie is the greatest kid. Livia Marie is the greatest kid. Livia Marie, Livia Marie, Livia Marie, Livia Marie.
Just like the all guy right, that anyway. Hosts the Ben and Jerry's tour.
God, do we have two more? All right. Hi, TMOS. A couple of things you might find interesting in quick fashion. Skunks will forage wherever the food is. In Mike's case, there are probably lots of grubs and other yummy skunk-loved items throughout his expansive lawn. That's right, my 43 acres. Years ago, my lawn was torn up on a regular basis by a family of skunks until I removed the source of the food. And perhaps more importantly, don't book United Airlines anymore. They have dropped the free beloved Stroop Waffles from their menu.
No!
Passengers are outraged.
No!
This is what our listeners care about. From a longtime listener, Susan in Frederick, Maryland. Our next letter. Hi, guys. Could Mike or Rob or Oscar, all three, prepare your best mint julep drinking voice and read the following? All right. So we're supposed to do a mint julep voice?
Yes, exactly.
The way I see it is my job is to help make your life better. South Carolina, that's where Trump was last night.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina is going strong, and we're going to keep it that way.
All right.
Then compare it to South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster. Rob has the tape.
Do you want to hear the tape?
Okay.
Well, I was going to say every we could time, all give it a what? Shot. We could all give it a shot and then see what the actual governor of South Carolina
all right,
sounds like.
So this is a tape we have of the governor. Every time we hear him speak, my wife, Janine, and I cannot help but conclude his campaign commercials with a resounding TMOS. Cheers, Frank. So the point that he's trying to make is that the South Carolina governor, Henry McMaster,
yes.
has a Haley Barber kind of voice. Well, let's listen to the good governor and see what he has to say.
The way I see it, my job is to help you make your life better. South Carolina's going strong, and we're going to keep it that way.
Yeah,
that
we're
way.
We're gonna keep it that way. Yes, sir. Cheers. That's from Frank Allgood, and Frank, it's all good. And I hold in my hand the final letter. May a hyperactive badger jump up. You know, I'm going to write them starting next week if we get one of those last letter. All right. Dear Mike, several weeks ago, you were doing the show after a night of very little sleep. You started doing an impression of Darren McGavin. It was hysterical to the point that I never wanted it to end. Well, and thank you, Slugger. Yeah, fresh, all fresh food from Jack and Charlie. Please bring Darren back again soon. In the meantime, I found this interesting bit of information on IMDb related to Mr. McGavin and his role in The Natural. McGavin was indeed curiously uncredited in The Natural in 1984. During the filming of the movie, Robert Redford was so pleased with McGavin's portrayal of his character that they began to expand the role. However, after a certain point, union rules dictated that the actor's contract needed to be renegotiated for salary and billing. After haggling on salary and holding up production of the movie because of it, the billing had yet to be decided. Apparently, McGavin became somewhat fed up with the proceedings and instructed his agent to waive his billing entirely so they could get back to filming because he's a team player.
Isn't that cool? Great story.
Well, thank you, Slugger. Yeah, I don't want my, I don't even need my pseudo pumpkinses. We are going out to eat. Thank you, Carol. The more you know. Thank you very much, Rob. We can get out of here now. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with more fun and more thrills on the Your Doctor's Going to Jail show right here with Mike O'Mara and friends. We'll be right back, everybody. Slugger!
There's a day that means more than any other to all Americans.
It's damn.
A celebration of our country.
That's right! Dan the Fan Man here to tell you about all our deals on the 5th of July! Want to celebrate the Declaration of Fan Dependence on Fan Dependence Day? There's a fan for that. Fan for that. Fan for that. Want to honor the Fanning Fathers? Thomas Jeffer Fan, Benjamin Franklin, and George Washington Fan? There's a fan for that.
For that. For that.
Just feel like honoring Uncle Fan? There's a fan
for that.
So remember, this Fan Dependence Day, celebrate your country with our fans. And if you get the chance, buy a bonus show too. If I don't mention that, they won't let me do any more promos.
Dan the Fan Man, fantastic. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Do you work in marketing? Do you believe in the work you do? Why? Yoko Seo is a digital marketing agency, and they ask themselves those same questions, which is why they only work with organizations who have a purpose beyond profit. And that's not to say profit isn't important, because it absolutely is, but that doesn't have to be the end of the story. And at Yoko Seo, they understand that. So if you believe in the work your organization does, and if you show up each day for more than just a paycheck, you should give Yoko Seo a look. They offer a range of digital marketing services, including website design, search engine optimization, social media, and email marketing. If you think you're not getting the most out of your website, Yoko Seo can help. Learn more at yokoco.com/TMOS. That's yokoco.com/TMOS. Do it now. David Letterman. We are all turbo fans of David Letterman. Yesterday, because my back has been on the fritz this week and I haven't been able to do much, so yesterday afternoon I did a binge watch of the new David Letterman show on Netflix. And
is it called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction? I think that's technically the name, right?
Yes. No introduction, and it is not. I don't know. It's just weird. I get the. I don't know why he came back as soon as he did. And I'm not sure I'm 100,000% digging it. It just seems kind of, nobody loves Letterman more than I do. I love the guy. I loved his TV show. I'm a massive fan of David Letterman's, but this thing is just kind of meandering, and it's just kind of, there's just no real direction. I don't know whether he does that by design, but it just, I watched an episode. The specific one I had a problem with was the one with Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
Where they just are kind of sitting up there, and they seemed like they were trying to find a certain road to travel down where they would enjoy themselves, and it didn't work out. And then I watched a couple of them. I watched one with Tina Fey that was pretty strong.
Yeah.
But it's Dave Letterman has this recurring theme that what he did for all those years on television was kind of worthless. And he goes back to it on my stupid little show. I didn't do anything very good. After I'm coming back because I want to do some good. And he'll shoehorn in a little piece like preserving the lands out in Utah, which is fine. But I get a feeling like I don't know why he came back. Maybe he just feels like what he did was not enough. And it gets
was it not authentic?
This.
Is that how
not that it wasn't authentic, but that he says it a lot, and it gets to be something where, okay, you know, he values his guests like Obama and Tina Fey and Jerry Seinfeld and Howard Stern. And I really enjoyed the interview with Stern up until a point when it just got to be, I started really thinking and doing a deep dive intellectually about David Letterman and how David Letterman thinks, and it's just strange.
Well,
the beard is strange.
The beard is weird, and you know what? The beard is almost That's almost the breaking point for me. I have a hard time looking at that. I mean, if he's on vacation on an island and he's growing his beard out, that's fine. But Dave, you're on TV. You're on high-def TV. Mm-hmm. But he's also, we've always known this about Dave. As much as he brought great, great television, he's a broken guy.
And, he's a weird guy.
And I don't know where it goes back to.
He's an odd guy.
I know that there are parent issues with him. I've read certain accounts. Yes. And I also think that.
What do you mean parent issues?
He was very socially distant from his mother. His father died when he was young.
Right.
He's been quoted as saying.
So even though he had her on the show, they had.
He's been quoted as saying that after she would do one of her segments, like at Thanksgiving, he would turn to the crew and say, well, now I don't have to call her tonight. Because I've already talked to her. So there's that thing going on. And then there is that weird relationship with Carson, where Carson is his dream, you know, idolized father.
Like his daddy.
Yeah. And then he doesn't get the Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. And I think that messed with his head a lot. Remember the grudge he was on the minute he went on CBS? Of course, everyone's miserable on CBS, but he came in there with such an axe to grind because he was mad. He was so mad that he didn't get the Tonight Show.
By the way, I should point out, I'm still watching it, and I still binged on it. It was no problem. And it's better than 90% of the stuff that's out there. It's just not where, I don't know. When you're going to get my next guest needs no introduction, I think it should be more of a what's this person about? Even though it's Dave, you're either going to do a monologue. And it's not a monologue, and it's not a real interview. It's not on the interview. And now listen, I don't want him to be James Lipton, but I adored James Lipton because it was such a deep dive into the celebrities that he would have on. With Dave, it's more just kind of a meandering conversation, and it gets odd. It gets, especially with Seinfeld, it was like, where are you guys going with
Seinfeld's
this?
Broken, too. He is. Now, if you know what, I think maybe the best episode, and I've not seen the Stern one, but the best episode of the Letterman one was the Clooney one. Did you watch the one with George Clooney?
I did.
Where they actually went and talked to his folks, and they did some pre-produced stuff back at his hometown.
Okay.
And that to me was fascinating because we got to know sort of the background of what turned George Clooney into George Clooney.
I would like more of that.
I would like more
of the real dive. And Jerry Seinfeld, in Jerry Seinfeld's case, there's kind of a wall that's up where he doesn't want to let people in, and he talks, but Howard's interview was probably more revealing because it was Howard.
Yeah.
Because Howard was doing all the lifting. When you got Seinfeld and Letterman to tie, it's just, I welcome everybody to watch it and give me their opinions on it because I'd like to know what people think. I'm very curious if there's anybody out there that might have a feeling like being the Turbo fan I was, that it just feels a little weird. That's all I can say.
A letdown, maybe?
That's all I can say about that. Not as much as it just feels not quite where I expected it would be. Maybe I expected too much. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect more because you're going to a platform like Netflix and all you've been watching is the censored network TV version of him.
Yeah.
So ideally, I think my expectations would be high. I watched, I would say, half of the Tina Fey interview.
Yeah.
And I watched the Obama one was great because it's Obama and I already have a soft spot for him anyway. So
totally
I probably
agree,
forgave
though,
a lot.
That because the former president was on and he doesn't do that very often. So that but that was a little stilted too, but you can be stilted because it's the president of the United
States.
What
I thought, I guess my takeaway from the Tina Fey one was that, okay, they're on stage, they're doing this like big production.
Right.
It's fun.
Didn't they seem uncomfortable?
It felt like both of them were busy. Like they were, they could like, they,
like hurried,
they, like hurried.
Yeah.
They felt
uncomfortable.
It wasn't like the best. First of all, nobody wanted to do it. It felt like when they were up there, like, oh, okay, let's get this over with. We got us to do, right?
Yeah. There seems to be an obligation.
Yes.
Dave called.
Yes.
Stern, you know, referenced that, which was hysterical because you know, Howard doesn't have a filter. And, you know, and by the way, Howard was extremely honest and open about his life and where he was. And as somebody who's, you know, been in the racket almost as long as he has been, watching that made me feel good. It made me feel good that he's gotten there and that there's a, you know, there's a lot of anger in people that do this. I still have a lot of it. And Howard was just very open and honest about it. And I've never seen
Howard with that
deep dive. But it was because of Howard. I think that I don't want Letterman to change his stripes. It's just, I just felt odd. And I just wonder if anybody else feels a little weird.
Let me ask a question about this as far as your interpretation, because Letterman...
I'm not slamming him, by the way.
No, no, far from it.
I'd rather watch that. That's why I binged on it yesterday, you know?
Letterman comes from a radio background and then a network television background, where he always had a structure that he had to obey. And one of the things that would drive him crazy on his show, one of the only things it did, is if he was surprised because he had to mentally run his show. He had a clock going in his head. He knew when he wanted to break and all that. Do you think that an open-ended 60-minute interview that is probably closer to 2 hours before editing with no structure and no chance to break, do you think that throws him a little?
I have no idea, but it doesn't seem... It just seems different. It seems different.
Yeah, because he seems to work best in like 7-minute hunks, right?
Yeah, it just seems a little odd.
Yeah,
you know, and
I can see that.
I think he had a look. We all make fun of the Bob Hopes and the people that hang on the stage too long, but there's a need for this stuff. And I think there's absolutely no reason for David Letterman to come back for money. He's coming back because he has that need to get out of the house and all that. But he's the
too much time with Harry.
The self-deprecation. We all do that as well, and there's nothing wrong with that. But in Letterman's case, I get the impression this guy walks out of that theater and he's just in the doldrums. It's odd. I want smarter people than me to take a look
and figure
at that
it out.
Particular interview and let me know what's going on with it, because I want to know if I'm onto something here or if there's anything. It's just a little. The only way I can say it, and I'm sorry for not doing a complete pan, because I'm not going to do that, because it's still David Letterman and he's still funny and he's bright, but I'm not going to give him a rave review. He's gotten a few of those, hasn't he? Rave reviews on this. I feel like it's a little odd and it's a little off. And when you get two comedians that are talking to each other who just don't want to let their guard down, it's just it's kind
of in the back of your mind. You're thinking of him throwing that ball into the basket over and over and over again from the late shift. Just an angry man. A broken, angry man who has brought us so much joy, but at what expense?
But hasn't look, I'm not saying that Letterman's Gary Shandling, but even looking at that documentary, the idea that these guys are broken and they have something that they're never going to find.
Yeah, they're chasing it. They're always chasing it.
They're never going to find. That's gone.
Well, you
right?
should listen to, you know what? I'll record conversations with my wife and I lying in bed at night, you know.
Is she coming back to TV?
She's coming back to TV.
That's great.
We'll play that back, and then you'll know, I got no place to call people broken. That's right. Welcome to this episode of Which Relative Am I Paranoid About Now? We'll take a break, and we'll come back.
Spin the wheel, honey.
Yeah, I'm not going to throw those darts. It's just maybe I'm acutely aware of it, Mr. Letterman. Because on the teeny tiny crappy level of show business, I'm broken too. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. Days when the rains came.
It's Political Persuasion.
Hey, it's Freights. This week on Political Persuasions, Mike and I talk about the Trump administration's policy of separating immigrants crossing the border illegally from their children. There's a ray of light in local journalism, and you get some of my outtakes. You won't want to miss it.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. A message from Cornerstone First Financial. The housing market is heating up like the summertime weather. Rates continue to rise, and the Fed has announced 5 more rate hikes in the next 2 years. You gotta lock in now while rates are still super low. You can get cash out for any reason. Great for debt consolidation, a divorce buyout.
Yes.
I will never forget Patton with that. Eliminating PMI, home improvement, anything. Cornerstone First Financial is a direct lender with their own money and the ability to meet any competitor's estimate. How? Cornerstone has a certain amount that they have to clear off their warehouse line each month. And they do this by offering the absolute lowest rates. Whether it's a purchase, refinance, debt consolidation, plus you can get pre-approved before you work with an agent, so you know what you qualify for. That is an amazingly powerful thing to do, to walk in and to say, by the way, I'll pay you this for the house, and I've got the money. I'm pre-approved, just like so many TMOS listeners have done. Do it. I promise you, Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closings. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Rob Spiewak.
Mike O'Mara.
You went to a fabulous show the other night by a guy that happens to still be alive.
Yeah, closing in on 92 years old. Mm. Tony Bennett is 91, and I saw him once, and I was trying to do the math. It was probably about 25 years ago. I saw him at the 930 Club, and he was old then. So right. I didn't know what to expect. And here's how it worked out. I wasn't actually going to buy tickets, but we've been chasing Tony Bennett for about a year to come on the show, and I've got back and forth with his publicist. I said, he's going to be in our backyard. He's going to be at Wolf Trap. Could we do a phoner with him? And they said, he's not doing any press for this tour, but we'd be pleased to send you two tickets. Mm-hmm. I said, fantastic. That'd be great. Love to see it. Go right. home. I say, Carrie, would you like to go see Tony Bennett? Have a nice date night to Wolf Trap? She says, that fossil? Call your mother. I said, okay. So I called my mom. My mom is way into it. And so we're going to go to see Tony Bennett. Now, people around the country, Wolf Trap is known as the National Park of the Performing Arts. And it is an outside venue that has lawn seating and covered seating. And it's not noted for getting the best acts and bookings. Mm-hmm. And the crowd at Wolf Trap is, you know, pretty obvious. It's usually women with short hair and men with long hair. You get a lot of that.
Yes.
And so a lot of hippie types are there, and we go in, and it's not, we don't have really high expectations, because the first thing I notice when I go in is the stage.
Mike, you know I never like reading your text during the show, and this is very bratty, and this is very unprofessional,
mm-hmm.
but breaking news, whatever it feels like breaking, I mean, you're not going to believe this.
What?
From Mr. Mike O'Mara.
Radio host?
Radio mm-hmm. host, 10:38 a.m.
Yes, just in.
Maine, the wilds of Maine. Happy still getting tickets, but not the interview.
I'm sorry, Mike. Not enough interviews for you last week?
Nope.
Okay. Well, we'll have to redouble our efforts then.
Yeah. But you know what, Mike? You should know this.
I'm sorry.
I called the shot for you being upset about this.
Oh, and what? You're Kreskin? You didn't think I knew this was going to happen when I mentioned it?
Yeah, but
I'm not upset.
No.
I might have said, I probably would have.
I called the shot. I said, you know, if you go to the show,
right,
that there's going to be a question. It's like, you went to the show, but you didn't get the interview.
Right.
But
no, I mean, he's gone to tons of shows where I haven't done that.
Yeah, but
it's funny that he explained the process of.
Well, the amazing thing, you see, this was the thing that surprised me, is normally
you delivered on that.
Normally, if you want to. If you want free tickets for a show, you normally have to ask. They countered with it, so I wasn't going to turn them down. But I understand.
But also, they have given you tickets before.
Yes, they have.
You've gotten free tickets to multiple shows at Wolf Trap.
Yeah,
But
these are not Wolf Trap tickets. These are Bennett tickets. These were from Bennett's people.
Oh, Bennett's people.
Yeah. Wolf Trap had nothing to do with it. No, they were very good seats.
Excuse me.
What row?
13th row, center, undercover.
Now I'm jealous.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty cool. We were guests of Mr. Bennett.
No, you were guests of Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, because we came from his personal assistant.
Whoa. We were guests of
Mr. Bennett. He just didn't want to talk to you.
I think that might have been it.
I understand.
Give him tickets.
So, we get there, and the first thing, I'm disappointed. And we've got low expectations. A night out. But our expectations
are low.
It's a night
out, but you're not excited about the show.
No, because I look on the stage and there's no risers for like a possibility of horns or anything. It's just going to be a small combo. It's four pieces. It's a Steinway piano, which is pretty great, a bass, a drummer, and a guitarist. It starts out with some announcer from backstage, obviously on a microphone that is not pre-recorded. It's just some guy saying,
"Please welcome Tony Bennett."
No, better.
"Please welcome the Tony Bennett Show."
And then the four musicians come out and they play, and my ears prick up because these guys are good. It sounds like the Charlie Brown Christmas album. Mm-hmm. It is so perfectly mic'd and the sound is so good that I said, hey, this won't be so bad. And then they do two songs or so and they say,
two instrumentals?
Yeah.
And they, "Please welcome in the family or from the family, Antonia Bennett."
And Tony Bennett's daughter comes out. And she's a great big bowl of okay. She's neither sharp nor flat.
But she comes out to perform?
Yeah, she sings four songs.
Oh, and what do you mean? Now, can you be more specific about the big
bowl? I will say this. She's neither sharp nor her voice is accurate, but it's like you know that certain magic that like a Julie Andrews or a Barbara Streisand has, a sweetness to your voice?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like expecting like a beautiful maybe a solo on a violin, and instead you're getting a xylophone. It's just, it's all the notes are there.
Does she look like Tony?
No, she's quite pretty.
Ooh.
And she's a little younger than me, which is amazing, which means
that it's a younger daughter.
Yeah, I think she's 43 or so. Okay. And she's got a gown on, and it's, you know, it's the band, and
hey,
she's
leaning. Hey, everybody, I'm Antonio Bennett.
Yeah, you're nice young lady.
You, everybody. How are you?
Okay, right. So she finishes. And you know what? It's okay. We're still got some plus points because the band is good. We know that Tony's coming out.
What time is it?
It's now it's probably they started at 8, so Tony probably comes out at about 8:30.
Okay, not bad.
And so then they say, before we start the Tony Bennett show, a message from Frank Sinatra. And then something they've pulled from YouTube, a bad audio capture. Frank Sinatra saying, I want to say this cat is the greatest singer I've ever heard. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Bennett. And he comes out and he looks every day of 91. But
oh, does he? That's too
but bad. Here's the thing. He starts to sing and the voice is there. It's right. He doesn't do any patter. He doesn't do any unnecessary movements because he's obviously conserving his energy. But I hear a small piece of him playing and singing. Okay. And keep in mind, this man is 91.
With my top, my white tie, and my tails.
I'm gonna pass out right now.
But you know what? He did the hits.
Tony Bennett has made me laugh.
Yes,
forever.
Of course.
And when Alec Baldwin did the impression, it's just like, there's something so special yesterday.
So it's going okay, and we're enjoying ourselves. He does some of the hits. He does some saloon songs. And my mom leans over and says, boy, he sings a lot of sad songs. I said, I think the slow songs are easier. And it's going on at about 9 o'clock. The thing that threw me,
Gaga was here 10 years ago.
This is the man that has not, you know, he's been on stage for 70 years. He has no patter. He sings, he says thank you, he does a song. He sings.
Thank you.
And thank you. And he does this a lot. Two thumbs up and then hugs himself. He likes that a lot. And so we're enjoying ourselves. And then there's, for the first time in the
that's
show.
That's funny. That's a good description.
The music stops down. And the piano player calls him over and he says something and Tony cocks his head and the piano player repeats it. And I look in the wings and I see there's a woman. And I said, oh, God, they're bringing the daughter back out again. Uh-huh. Right. But Tony, with genuine surprise, and I don't know if it's because he forgot or they didn't tell him or it was a genuine surprise. He looks over in the wings and he lights up. He says, hey, is that Lady Gaga?
No.
Oh, wow.
And Lady Gaga walks out.
There's no way.
Yeah, I nearly soiled myself. It was because not only did she come out,
she's
in a beautiful gown. Her hair is done. She comes out.
Bonus time.
And this is nowhere in the program. This is nowhere anywhere.
I literally mentioned Gaga because there's no way that she's touring with him and she's not on the bill,
I listened to their album on the way to the concert. And I said, this is so great. It would be so great if she was there tonight. But, you know, that's not going to do that. So I don't know.
She
what?
Just showed up?
She
or,
just.
Well, it's got to be. If she's in
that's
a gown,
gotta
I mean,
be
you know.
She
didn't.
She was ready to go on. I don't know if she's just bopping in on certain gigs or not, and if this is going to be a regular thing. I mean, we have a proximity to New York. She could have taken the shuttle down and done it.
Still, it's that's a heavy.
So the crowd go absolutely.
Oh, they go
out of their
absolutely
minds.
Crazy. And here's a little bit of the first number they sang together.
She's got a voice. Even with that recording, you can hear it. So this has got to be part of the... But it's not billed as
no,
Lady Gaga.
No, no, and believe me...
You'd have to do that in a stadium.
Yeah. So the last time they played together, they played the Eisenhower Theater in town, which is like 6,000 seats,
yes.
Right? So... I think it.
She must be just doing him a solid.
I don't know how it worked out.
That's sweet.
And
she's signing up where she would do that.
And she admires him, and they had a great chemistry. And I will absolutely post this video on our Facebook.
How many songs?
They did 4 songs, I believe, 3 or 4 songs.
That is just.
And she's just eating it up. I mean, vamping with the band, like trying to make sexy moves on the drummer. It was just so entertaining. And the thing that blew my mind is
Wolf Trap.
Stuff like this happens occasionally, like at a New York gig or a Los Angeles gig, that you get
a
showbiz
DC gig,
walk on, and not even DC. The suburbs of DC. And
that's
so
amazing.
It was really awesome.
Wow.
And I think my favorite moment of the evening was Lady Gaga's walk on. My second favorite moment is when we were leaving and they had to stop the exit of people from the Fellini Center because the police barricade to get the axe out. We saw Lady Gaga's Escalade and we saw Tony's Escalade go by, and they're making us wait. And I'm standing by this very, very old lady and her handler, who is just a little younger than her, but not much. And she says, "Do you know what? That was a wonderful, wonderful show. Who was that woman with Tony?"
That's awesome.
But it was awesome.
What a moment.
You don't
man.
Often get to be a part of something like that. That is very, very
cool.
Exciting.
Totally cool.
Yeah, neat.
That is pretty cool.
Damn.
Imagine how special it would have been if you got backstage.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. I have to. He expects that from me, okay? No, that was a great story. I like that. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Asked and we listened. Now you can listen on Spotify. In our never-ending effort to make it easier for you to access our content, The Mike O'Mara Show can now be streamed on Spotify, just another platform that gives you full TMOS access. So go grab the show and listen and spread the word. The more you know, the more we grow. TMOS on Spotify. Grab it.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by our TMOS bonus packages. It's birthday season, and you know what that means. It's almost the 4th of July.
Yes.
Yes, America is celebrating a birthday, and you can celebrate, too, with a TMOS bonus package. Declare your independence from boredom with a weekly, uncensored, commercial-free 6th hour of TMOS fun. Each and every week, we light the comedy fuse and fill your senses with multicolored explosions of hilarity and big booms of bombastic joy. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and it gives proof through the night that the internet is still there. Yes. We the people, in order to laugh, require the TMOS bonus package. John Hancock called it a roaring dose of hilarity. Richard Henry Lee called it a wonderful reminder of home. And Ben Franklin said it was more fun than bath night with two unshaved Parisian hookers. There you go. Thanks, Ben. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. It makes a great gift, ladies and gentlemen. Spread some cheer, bonus show style. Get happy by giving back. So please quit sucking and God bless America.
News.
Boo. Heather Locklear. Oh, this ain't fun. This ain't good. Heather Locklear was hospitalized last night after an alleged overdose, less than 24 hours after she was arrested for assaulting a cop and an EMT at her house. Mm. It all started Sunday night when police were called to Heather's home because she was drunk and arguing with family and friends. As the cops were trying to calm her down, she kicked one of them in the leg.
Oh.
Since she was so wasted, they decided to call an ambulance and have her checked out. While that was happening, she kicked a paramedic in the chest. I guess she's kicking a lot of people.
Yes.
Damn.
Heather was treated at the hospital, then arrested on two misdemeanor counts of battery. She was released yesterday morning on $20,000 bail. There was talk yesterday afternoon that she was planning to go back to rehab, but last night an ambulance was called back to her house over a possible overdose.
Mm.
She was rushed to the hospital where sources say she is in stable condition. Heather has a long string of arrests and hospitalizations over the last decade. Earlier this year, police were called after she allegedly assaulted her boyfriend. She threatened to shoot one of the cops. A month later, she checked into rehab. I hope she goes back.
Brutal.
I hope she finds
tough.
Peace. It's sad. It's
just
it's
brutal.
It's a drag, and she's been through it. So I wish her. I hope she can get some family and friends around her that can help her. But sometimes you can't help people that are in that situation.
That's so true.
Ed Sheeran is a professional. Any Ed Sheeran fans here?
Does absolutely.
Like, you know, Maddie loves him.
Like he's got a handful of hits. Seems like a good guy. Mm-hmm. Handful.
Right.
A ton.
Well, but even the best have off days. They have a little problem once in a while. During a show in Cardiff, Wales over the weekend, a big show, Ed had to stop for two pee breaks. And one was in the middle of a song.
Uh-oh.
The first time was right after he finished Galway Girl. He said, quote, "I've been gigging since I was 14 and I've never done that. And now I do it in front of 60,000 people."
Wow.
Stadium show.
Yeah.
The second time was halfway through Photograph. He said, quote, "I'm so sorry, Cardiff," before running off to drain the dragon. That's Ed Sheeran, who had a little pee.
A lot of pre-gaming, I'm guessing.
H2O.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be a thing other than it's 60,000 people, so everybody was talking
Tony
about
Bennett
it.
Took a pee break. It took 70 minutes.
Tony Bennett. Hey, it's Lady Gaga. Shake it more than three times if you're playing with it.
Hey, who is that? Lady Gaga? I can't see. Is that my daughter?
Oh, fantastic. If we got Lady Gaga, why'd we bring out my daughter in the first place? Here is a summer safety hazard you'd never think of. Leaving a half-full bottle of water in your car could start a fire. I have done this thousands of times. If you don't believe it, there's plenty of video evidence to back it up. Here's how it can happen. When the sun hits a plastic bottle at the right angle, the water in there can act like a lens and concentrate the light on one specific point. It's exactly like the horrible friend you had that burned the ants with magnifying glasses.
I was that friend.
Under the right conditions, that pinpoint of light can cause smoldering or even worse. A group of firefighters in Oklahoma posted a video last year that shows how it can happen. There are a ton of YouTube videos that show how you can do the same thing if you need to start a fire in a survival situation. The odds of a water bottle setting your entire car on fire are pretty low. In most cases, the worst thing that happens is it might melt a small hole in your upholstery.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
But if the bottle happens to be next to something flammable, like if you're carrying gasoline around,
yes,
like I do, it could start a fire. So if you currently have a bottle of water sitting in your car next to some dry tinder, some kindling that you have there, you might want to say, you know, watch out for it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's worth the risk, because how many times have you gone up to someone and said, hey, do you need any kerosene? Because I have some right here.
Hey, I got kerosene right here. Okay.
Tony Bennett's kerosene stand.
I bet you in most garages, though, think about like what flammables are just there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tony Bennett. Ghosting. Oh, let me hit this. Thank you. Because I'm ADD. Ghosting is one of the biggest dating trends of the past decade, where instead of breaking things off with someone, you just suddenly cut off all communication and disappear.
Yes.
Well, it seems like people have really enjoyed going down that non-confrontational road. So they're not just ghosting their dates anymore. Now they're ghosting jobs. According to HR managers and job recruiters, there's been a huge trend of people vanishing at various points in the hiring process. They'll skip interviews. They totally stop communicating after the interview, even if the company wants to hire them. And sometimes they'll even take the job, but just not show up on the first day.
Wow.
So why is it happening to two friends?
Really?
Yes.
Apparently, it's a mix of strong job market and, yes, the ghosting trend that people have gotten used to with dating. According to one recruiting firm, there are so many jobs available now, good people are winding up with multiple offers, and they'd rather avoid having to tell a company bad news, so they just stop responding.
I just couldn't make it on time.
Apparently, lots of jobs, not a lot
also
of ones that are
irresponsible,
happy, happy.
Because you might need that contact in the future.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Minor league baseball teams use a lot of gimmicks to try to get people in their ballparks, and some of those gimmicks are legitimately insane. Like this one, the Erie Seawolves in Erie, Pennsylvania, are a double-A team for the Detroit Tigers, and on Saturday night they held Sugar Rush Night, which included hot dogs with cotton candy as a bun.
Ah!
Woo!
Ah!
And they used Nerds as a topping on the hot dog as well.
No, no.
As far as we know, no one has died, but that's what they're doing in Erie. And I wonder if Beth Ann got out.
You know, if someone's out there and they're like, we got to do something different. Stop doing things different.
Beth Ann handed out all the hot dogs after the game. As soon as the game was over.
And now a little something something. A 38-year-old guy named James Reinerson was in jail in Grand Junction, Colorado last month waiting for his trial for menacing, disorderly conduct, and trespassing. But the sheriff's deputies got him confused with another inmate, and they let him out early.
Hey, lucky guy.
He never bothered to correct him, even when they called him by the other guy's name, and he even signed the guy's name on the exit paperwork. So James headed home to surprise his wife. And she responded by forcing him to go back to jail. She even drove him to the jail herself. When it was all said and done, he was only out of jail for about 2 hours total. But he's still facing a bunch of new charges, including escape, forgery, criminal impersonation, and theft. On the bright side, the sheriff's department says that thanks to his wife, it didn't turn into an even more serious situation, which could have wound up worse for James, and he would have spent a lot more time in jail. James okay. didn't think of that. When asked about this incident, James said, why is everybody making such a fuss? There you are. I'm James. We'll take a break. Come back with the Tony Bennett Lady Gaga Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Hi, this is Jimmy Cerrito. I'm the king of the week.
It's James.
Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, the world famous Buffalo Wings, and the TMOS bonus show are two things that are worth paying for. If it's too tough for you to go to the MikeOMeraShow.com and click the bonus show button, then drop by Jimmy's and I'll teach you how to buy the bonus show.
If you want to see the O'Meara's Pub wooden sign with your own two eyes, offer me a ride home. Nope, I ain't doing it. Buy My Buffalo Wings, and the bonus show. You will not be disappointed. No refunds. It'll be okay.
It'll be okay, Jimmy. Thank you very much. Glad we didn't hit you on the way back from New Hampshire. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Shop on Amazon. Everybody does it. It's easy. It saves money. It's a no-brainer. But please remember to use your brain and access the site by clicking the Amazon link at the top of the TMOS website. That's smart. That will guarantee that we get credit for your purchase, so start clicking, because if you need it, Amazon has it. What is today's Amazon purchase of the day, Rob Spiewak?
I checked the calendar. This year, Independence Day falls on the 4th of July, and you have time, Mike. You have time to order your American flag on Amazon. This comes with a pole and a bracket. It comes with a beautiful American-made flag with embroidered stars and rich colors. It's only $30.95 Amazon Prime. Order today. You could have it Thursday, the Allied American flag.
Get on
it. I might just do that. You know, I might just do that, because you know what? I've got a lovely front porch.
Look
that
great
would
up
it's the best. You got to do it.
Yeah. I would definitely do that. Amazon really does have everything. You can find the flag and more at the top of MikeOMaraShow.com. Then make sure that we get the credit. It'll cost you nothing. Now go spend money. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. Rob Spiewak.
Hey, is that the audio vault?
Hey, look at that. It's Lady Gaga right next to the audio vault. Come on out here. No, honey. Daughter, stay there. You're
sit
not
down.
Coming out.
Antonia, sit down.
Antonia. Was it Antonia?
Of course it was.
Antonia Bennett.
If I say to you the name Richard Harrison, does it mean anything to you?
No, George Harrison would mean something. Richard Harris would mean something.
Richard Harrison was on Pawn Stars, the old man in the Pawn Stars store. And he has passed at age 77. And
He wasn't a healthy looking guy.
Well, no, I don't think he ever looked healthy at all. But I tell you what, he was a good source of anger in the Pawn Stars.
It was really
funny. So here's a montage of some of his work. Richard Harrison, the old man from Pawn Stars.
Oh my God, I wouldn't feed this to my worst enemy. Nowadays kids eat rice cakes. What the is a rice cake? It ain't rice, and it sure as hell ain't a cake.
I'm thinking like 150 grand.
You're thinking.
Well, no, I mean,
you're assuming, which makes an out of you.
You forgot the me part.
Shut up.
When did you get a smartphone? You got to be kidding me. You've called the pawn shop 27 times today.
Any phone that can mess with you is pretty smart. It's like using a sledgehammer to swat a fly. This is milk glass. Milk glass was used before plastic.
They would just melt down the milk jug and use the glass to make
something. Oh, Jesus. That is one of the stupidest statements I ever heard in my life.
He must there have he been fun to
he
work
was great
with.
On the show.
Yeah.
He sounded old. He was an old 70.
Yeah, I was going to say 70. Guy. I would have not guessed him at 77. I would have been closer to Bennett age, like 90.
Where are you going there?
Hey, there's my daughter next to Lady Gaga.
Am I seeing double?
How you doing? Come on out here, guy. No, Antonia. Stay in the green room. Don't come out again. You're average.
Go out and start the car. Get the AC running. Don't want to get into a warm car.
Thank you. Hug myself.
Two thumbs up. Hug yourself.
And the hug. Thank you. I'm so gratified.
This is a trend that for some reason it made me think of Jimmy Cerrito, because you know he loves his coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a new trend is adult lullabies. Music adults
this
play.
This is it. They're just more and more. Keep it coming.
But here's the thing, is there's songs that are like songs from our generation.
Yes.
So let's say you want to put your head down on the pillow. You don't want to hear like Pop Goes the Weasel or Brahms' Lullaby. How about a little No Woman, No Cry? Now, I was able to recognize that one, but as I was bopping around the internet, finding these adult lullabies.
This is pretty cool.
I'm going to play you one, Mike, and I'm curious if you
will sleepy.
If you can recognize this song. Hey, what is that, Bob Marley?
Oh, boy, I'm ready to go off to dreamland, getting ready for the permanent sleep.
All right, see if you can recognize this song.
Hold on, the hook. Is it contemporary?
Hold on, wait. It's
late
80s. Hold
on. Okay,
don't go yet. Don't get.
Oh, I know you got it. I can tell you.
Okay.
Enter the Sandman, Metallica.
No.
No.
It's not fair because they've changed the entire rhythm of it, but it's.
Yeah!
The Beastie Boys fight for your right to party as a lullaby.
Boo.
You got it. Beastie Boys, Power 105 WAVA. Going to Dreamland, everybody. Join Tony Bennett and his daughter, Ammonia, out in Wolf Trap tonight.
Now, this next video was trending on Facebook yesterday. I don't know if it's a plant because it's awful. You know that movie that came out a week and a half ago called Tag?
Yes.
Where a family or a bunch of guys start a game of tag in, I guess, high school and kept it up their entire life.
Right.
If we were to believe the backstory, a guy was in Scotland for his niece's baptism. The tag opponent flew 4,000 miles, disguised herself as a gardener, snuck into the baptism. They said, we have to get that gardener out of the shot for the picture, and she runs over and tags him. Now, the reason this is notable is the sound he makes when he realizes that he got tagged.
Sorry, guys, could somebody tell that gardener to move?
Oh, actually.
Sorry. Oh, no! Okay, and the reason for this is because it's the effort required
she flew
to tag the next person, right?
She
it's
went
a
to
limited
Scotland,
number of people around the world.
And she went to Scotland for one day.
Wow.
So anyway, so beware when you're over in Scotland at a baptism.
That's cool.
You're going to get tagged.
Piece of audio
right. Let's close with this. Coming up, I'm excited. I'm a big Bruce Willis fan, always have been. He is the subject of the new Comedy Central roast, and of course, the roast master, Jeffrey Ross, the best guy's ever done a roast.
He's the best.
They did a preview trailer of what might some of the stuff we might get on the roast. So this is a tight shot of Bruce Willis and Jeff Ross.
I want to tell you my secret now.
Okay.
I see old people.
Well, I see chubby people.
I see bald people.
So do I.
I see former heartthrob people.
I see future heart blockage people.
I see easy target people.
I see shops at Target people.
I see can't turn down any action movie script that comes my way people.
I see can't turn down a third helping of potatoes people. And I'm not talking about sweet potatoes, which are pretty low on the glycemic index as far as potatoes go.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Wow.
So I look forward to that, Rose. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great day, everybody.
Hey, look at that. It's Lady Gaga. Yes. Plutonia, stay in the green room. Very good. That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for the Michael Mara Show. All stale mail for our show can be sent to me, Tony Bennett. Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thumbs up, body hug. Each day on average, 96 Americans lose their lives because of a gun. Check out Every Time for Gun Safety and find out how you can end the tragedy of gun violence for good. Hey, for Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us once again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Write a new opening and closing tomorrow, Mike. Do your job. Pay attention. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Transportation for the Mike O'Mara Show provided by DTS Worldwide Transportation, serving Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and worldwide. The leader in luxury chauffeured transportation since 1990. Call them at 800-914-2855.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.